Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios live from KKNW on 1150 here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle, beautiful Seattle, Washington, here in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. During the first hour, I interviewed a fascinating man named Stuart Pearce, a famous English voice actor, and he's also been in touch with angels, and I so enjoyed talking to him. During the second hour, I will be interviewing Matias Di Stefano, who's an Argentine, what I call a crystal or indigo child. He actually has memories from living in Atlantis many thousands of years ago, and his interview is really interesting. He provides fascinating and profound information not only on his previous lives in Atlantis, but also what lessons we can learn today in making this planet a much better and much happier place. This interview was conducted during the Peace and Light Conference in the Dominican Republic on August 21st, 2016. He also discusses the crucial part that water has played in humanity's past, present, and future. And he's a truly fascinating man, and I hope you'll really enjoy this Out of This World interview. At the end of the interview, I'll be coming back to talk about water, and we have some additional comments as well with Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project. So please stay tuned to this fascinating interview with Matias Di Stefano of Argentina.
Hello, friends. I'm in the Dominican Republic today at a wonderful conference called the Peace and Light Conference here, and I have a really interesting, fascinating gentleman named Di Stefano Matias. He's from Argentina, and he has memories of past lives in Atlantis, and he also has some incredibly interesting information about humanity as it is now and our future. Stefano, hi. Welcome to Out of This World Radio.
Thank you. Hi.
How did you ever get interested, or tell me how you started in this particular field? I'm really curious about your background.
Well, since I was 3 years old, I start to be connected with another dimensions, beings from other dimensions. In my family was atheist, so I had no religious background, anything. So it was all science or nothing. But suddenly I started to speak about these beings I used to see, and they were talking to me, and they were explaining me about life and how should I treat humans and how the world works and all this kind of things. So when I was 12 years old, they started telling me that I would remember many stuff, and all my memories will help others to understand reality. So I couldn't get it because I was 11, 12 years old, but they said that, and suddenly the next week I start to remember many things from many lives. All the memories were not information, but emotional, you know, like connecting with my families in other lives, with hard situations, me giving birth or stuff like that, you know, with 13 years old. So a lot of memories, and even as most I was remembering, I went farther and farther in the past. So I start to remember other civilizations, other planets, galaxy, and not with details, but there was this whole picture. You know, every time I was going into the origin memories, it was like the whole picture. I could understand many things. And when I was 17 or 18 years old, I could organize everything in my mind because before it was a mess. And when I was 20, I start to explain it. I was studying psychopedagogy. It was for teaching how to learn, and in a town in Argentina. And there was a moment I should leave the college, it says, and And after that, someone invited me to explain my situation, my knowledge into a pedagogy congress for the new children. And so, and when I spoke about that, someone recorded me and said, this should be for everyone. So we start to make videos, and someone uploaded in YouTube. And from that moment, people from all over the world start to listen what I was saying, and I was explaining to all of them about my memories. But I never spoke about who I was in other lives. I always used to speak about in neutral terms the information, so they could understand why we're here, from where we come, and where are we going. So all this information came from my memories of being someone traveling in the universe and looking into the universe and trying to understand the patterns of the universe and helping others to follow their missions and to accomplish a mission we have all together.
Stefano, that's really nice. Thank you so much for sharing that. Could you share with my many listeners around the world your memories of Atlantis or just after Atlantis? Because many people are interested in Atlantis, including myself, but we don't know a lot of details about it, and I know that would be very useful.
Yeah, there are. The thing is that civilization was the mother of all others. I don't used to live in Atlantis itself. I lived in a colony up there. My grandfather was and grandmother were from Atlantis, and they used to tell me all these stories. But when I start to remember the whole picture, when I was 16, 17 years old in this life, I could see Atlantis and I could see much more about it. And it was a civilization that many beings from other places and humans decided to create in order to bring responsibility for humanity to be in charge of this planet and to reconnect ourselves with the purpose of this planet. So that civilization was first of all in islands in the Atlantic Ocean, because the continents were so difficult and complicated because there were wars and big animals and all these dangers that humans, that other beings from other planets would not know. So they decided to go to islands to protect this project of humanity. So they start to live in islands, and there they created like 12 families. They made 12 families, and those families were the ones that that started to represent the heaven on earth, and they start to wave this network of consciousness around the world and traveling. But they were not allowed to get out of the island for a long time, until they were really prepared to face the reality of the world. So there was like laws that were forbidden Atlantean people to get out of the islands. And then there was this family that said, we have to go farther and see what's beyond. And they start to travel around the world and to see the patterns of the world and to see that all this that was told to them in knowledge, now it was an experience. So they start to bring the knowledge all around the world, and they were ready to connect everything. So this civilization was the mother of all others, and they were the first one in connecting the world by the technology of sound. We have today the technology of light, which is electricity and all this kind of stuff, but they use their energy of sound, the vibrations, the frequency.
Pardon me, but I have to ask this question. I read books by Dolores Cannon, who describes her readings of the construction of the pyramids in Egypt, which she said were constructed by sound.
Yeah, it is. All the technology they were using was by sound, but in order to accomplish a good connection, the technology of sound needs that the person who is working with that is in perfect balance and frequency. So that's why the only priests were able to be the builders of the constructors of temples and pyramids and cities. Alchemists, they were the people who found the balance within and outside. So they were the only ones. So that technology ends at the moment we all lose our connection with ourselves. Our name, our voices were the most amazing tools they have. So they spoke little words, but the words were so powerful that they could change realities just by talking. So they start to teach people how to use it, how the power of the word, the sound, and how it could change everything. But when people start to lose their selves, everything was out. You know, they start to build monuments with stones and you know, like we do now. But so we lose that technology, and this civilization was trying to reach the consciousness of the whole planet, and they were able to think what the planet was thinking and to make the planet think what they were thinking. So that was something amazing, but also was the problem, because when they start to lose their purpose, the planet start to lose their purpose, and so the problems begin.
I had heard, and also I'm a psychic, and I've talked to my spirit friends on the other side, and they said that Atlantis was an incredibly wonderful civilization until they started going into the dark side. And also, too, there was a small group of the military and scientists who started experimenting with technologies that they shouldn't have, and they ended up destroying the civilization, basically.
Mm-hmm. They did. They did. Because the problem was this. All the colonies from Atlantis, they start to ask themselves if what they were doing with the consciousness of the planet was something that everyone wanted or not. They start to think maybe the thing they are doing to the consciousness of the planet is not what we would love to do. So they start to doubt and they start to fight against, not with armies, but they start to, you know, like talking and saying, I don't agree with this and I don't agree with that. So a new era start coming up, and all the countries from Atlantis start to ask for independence. So they said, there's no way to be independent, because if we get separated, the whole consciousness of the world will be separated. Mm-hmm. So we won't be together again. So the Atlantean people start to fight against this thought of separation. So they start to do as much as they could in order to control everyone to be in the same pattern. So when they start to do that, they use the technology to control others, to control thinking, to control lives, to control the governments of others. So there was a fight in India, I think it was, well, today is India, it was called Hanwe, and also in Chitigu, which is the Mediterranean Sea. So in all these regions, there was a war, and they start to fight against the control of Atlantis. And one of the populations that never fought, but they were against what Atlantis was saying, was Egypt. Not the Egypt we know now, but they were the ones that said, we understand what you want to do, but we don't want to do it. we want to do it in other way. We don't want to control. We want that control comes from within every people. So Atlantis start to use their technology to destroy others. That's why there are many civilizations lost. We don't have most than some rocks around there. They destroyed everything by the sound. And also they disconnect us from the earth. So there started the dark part of the history.
You know, what you're saying is so interesting and so profound. Thank you so much for sharing that today. There's so many questions I want to ask you, but I know from my own life review and from what my spirit friends say on the other side that I was a priest back in Atlantean times. Mm-hmm. And my goal today of making this planet a better place, as well as many other light workers, actually started 12,500 years ago in Atlantis when I was trying to do the same thing now. But I and others, we lost back then, but now we're back again. And I have to tell you that I have a feeling that the same spirits who were causing problems back then have actually returned now, and they're causing problems again. Some of them have learned their lessons and are actually trying to make this planet a better place. Some haven't learned their lessons, and some are repeating the same mistakes that they did 12,500 years ago. But what from my spirit friends say on the other side, this time things are going to be different because we have the support and help of the Prime Creator, the entity that created all of this, and this planet is, in fact, slated for ascension into the higher dimensions. So I think this time things will be different.
This time will be different because we understood the process 12,000 years trying to think about what we have done.
Right.
All the Atlantean civilizations, which I call the Hephaestion, mm-hmm. That civilization all over the world, we all worked for this planet to become a center of learning and teaching in the whole galaxy. So there were, for me, there was no light side and dark side, just two perspectives of the same goal. You know, there was one perspective that was trying to control everyone in order to not to lose that purpose, and the other side said, we are gonna get it anyway, but we need to learn to be separated to understand what is to be together.
And I have to tell you now that everyone around the world now is talking about oneness, about that we're all part sparks of the Supreme Being that created all of this. And I think that movement is a movement to the higher dimensions, that the separation you talk about actually started in Atlantean times when people became separate. And now, after 12,500 years of war and conflict and disharmony, now people want harmony, peace, and cooperation to create a much more beautiful planet.
Yeah. But in order to do so, we have to heal our bond with history.
That's true.
Because one of the things we used to do is again, put two sides of the same coin, you know? The dark side and the light side. You know, the same guys that did it wrong last time and they are trying to do it again this time, they are not bad people. They just don't know other way.
Right. One of the things, too, I want to bring up is a mixing of human and animal genes.
Yeah.
And recently, the United States government, which admittedly has a lot of negative elements within it, mm-hmm. just approved scientific research to mix animal and human genes. I think this is what happened during the Atlantean times, and I'm told by my spirit friends on the other side this is definitely controversial. It was against the will of God, basically, against the Prime Creator. Mm. And that's one of the reasons why Atlantis was destroyed, ended up getting destroyed.
Well, there's a lot of stories about that and a lot of perspectives. Mermaids, for example, were one of the creations of Atlantis, but they were wrong. They would kill people and all that. they are not like the movie.
Really?
Yeah, they used to eat people to survive. But the thing is that those creatures, well, gods or whatever we want to call them, they made us to try to understand our potentials. So finally, we thought if they create us, we can create too. So that's good because we are experiencing what is created, but we have something that they were trying to teach us, which is the responsibility of our creations. Our creations don't have responsibility. They are just a play, a game. Science is like a kid. For the universe, the science is a tool to understand the spirit, but they were against the spirit. So by being against the spirit, they are playing with the tools of the spirit. So they don't have the real purpose on doing that, and that's why all the time when civilizations start to do some genetical mutations in beings without realizing the purpose of life, they became like prisoners of their own creation. Mm. And there's no one there punishing us, but they are saying cause and effect. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do something without a soul, they will take your soul. You know, it's like cause and effect.
Now, I've heard reports that mermaids, mermen, merpeople still exist today in the oceans.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe there are a few, I don't know. I don't think there are still, but they used to be, they used to be in touch with people, you know, but that was in Atlantis time, they were Atlantean and I think dolphin.
Right.
Yeah, had all mixed breed, but they had no purpose because they were a creation of human beings trying to understand that they could create life. So the thing is that they don't have the purpose. So it's not the main cause of Atlantean falling, but is one of the things that made that scientists from that time lose their minds, and also now they are losing it again, because they are thinking that science is the only way, and religion is not the only way. Science is not the only way. There are many ways, and they all must be together to make the whole picture and respect life, not because someone created, but because we had created and we decided to live it in that way, and we can transform it, but if we have the whole picture, not just a part.
Right, right. Now I have to ask you too, Stefano, some very important questions. You had mentioned before some fascinating things in your presentation today about how Earth is a neutron part of the entire universe. Could you explain that a little bit more, please?
A neutral?
A neuron.
Oh yeah. The Earth is like a cell in the body of the universe. Yeah, is a cell. Also the suns, every planet, every moon, every sphere you can find in the universe is like a cell, an organ of the body of the universe. So there are special cells that we call mother cells that if they change the whole body. They made the first mutations that help the whole body to be able to change, to adapt. And planet Earth is one of those mothers that helps every being around the universe transform itself in another level of consciousness. So they came here, we came here all the time to learn as a school, because here you have the whole possibilities of the universe to learn and understand in just one life. So as humanity, we are like the neurons of this being. If we connect each other, we create synapses, and that synapses we call them cultures. The cultures and languages we spoke are the thoughts we share with other neurons, which are the other ones that share the same information. So the whole planet is, I was talking today that the whole planet is like a mess today, because it's a very creative being. It's like the genius. Genius are usually mad people, you know, like crazy, because they have so much information, so many thoughts, and that's why they can create and think in different perspectives. So this planet is one of those. That's why this planet is so crazy too.
Yeah, they're usually people who are out of this world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But living here for a long time. So we are neurons traveling around the universe, and we came here to bring new thoughts. And us coming from many parts of the universe, and then here 12,000 years ago as the end of Atlantis, and as neurons, we said, okay, let's see, when is the time to get in touch again, to make this consciousness be connected again? So we said, okay, in 12,000 years, there will be technology, what they will call networks, in which we are going to be able to be in touch again and do this again. So 12,000 years ago, we set this project, and now we are here again trying to reconnect ourselves. And my generation came at the same years that internet appears in the world. So we are the internet generation, because we brought the network again. So we are trying to reconnect again the whole pattern of the Earth, and trying to fix what Atlantean civilization did once. But we have those people, as you said. Now they are politicians, economists, the religious people also. They control everything, but they control it because we need it. It's not because they are trying to control us and have power. They are in that place because we allow that place, because we need it. We needed someone to control us because we had no idea how to be free. So we are now practicing what freedom is. We are not in freedom. We are practicing what freedom is. So that's the thing we are trying to understand now. The people that is trying to change the world for the future, for a new possible future, we are all trying to understand that all these people that are in control of humanity are just there because we need it. Because we need it.
But I have a feeling that we don't need to be controlled anymore, because we're realizing our true spiritual purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the role of government and the need for controls on people will be less in the future than they are now.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like in a family, you need to think as a family. Religion and politicians and economies are the same, like our father. You know, is that people that says, you are my son, and until you live in my house, you will do what I say. Okay? But you are kind of free, but you're not. Until you can get out of your house and see another perspective and how other families live. So so you start to change your perspective, and you start to think, I need to be free. How do you say in English? Emancipate? Or how do you,
emancipated.
How, emancipated, yeah.
Right.
So the thing is that even if you emancipate, your father will be your father, because he helps you to understand that you should be free because of their rules. You know, he had some rules that helps you to understand that maybe those rules are not yours, are his. So you don't have to kill your father in order to be free. You just need to realize that that was the only way he knew. And he was teaching you something that is not the same you believe, but you can create another reality. So the only way you can change reality is by loving your father and mother and be grateful for what they taught to you so you could be free. So governments now are trying to tell you that democracy is freedom, but it's not. Democracy is just a practice of freedom. So the system is going to collapse anyway. But the thing is, I hope it doesn't collapse because we fear or we are in hunger or angry with them, you know, or against the system. Because if we do that, we are in polarity again. So what we do is to make that the next generations will be against us too, because we are only repeating a pattern of going against someone. So I'm really worried about that. It's the only thing I'm worried about, that people who is working for a new society should not be against anybody, should understand that the process that we lived in these 12,000 years was the process that helped us to understand that we need to be free now. But to be free, in order to be free, we have to understand that freedom is a big responsibility. It's not be free and do whatever you want. It's be more responsible of yourself and the environment you have surrounding you. So we are not ready yet to understand what freedom really is.
And I think being responsible also means having love and respect for each other and the planet Earth as well.
Exactly, yeah. And remember that we are one, that planet Earth and every being, even the most dark side of this planet, is part of us. Mm-hmm. So that's a big thing we should understand, because you cannot fight, you cannot go for peace during the war. Mm-hmm. You know, you cannot go against or fighting. You know, I used to hear people calling themselves warriors of peace or warriors of light, but warrior is war.
That's what's called in English an oxymoron. It's a contradiction in terms.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you can't have peace and war at the same time.
Exactly. So you should not be a warrior of peace or a warrior of light. You should be neutral, and you should be in harmony. That's the thing. So I think we are trying. We are now in this network we have now. We are for the first time seeing the incoherence of all the reality we have created. So we are now able to see, so what could we do to change it?
Sure. Now, also, do you have a plan for people around the world, for the world's grids, or to make the planet a better place? And would love to hear more details.
Well, one of the things that happened since Atlantis was fall, Atlantean fall made people separate, and they were using a network around the planet, the unconscious network of geometry and electromagnetical fields that connect the whole planet. They were using that to control us. And since that first time, we never touched it again to undo what they made it. So that's why the pattern is still here. Control, hierarchy, you know, all this system is since that time. So what I am proposing, because I used to live in that situation 12,000 years ago, I'm proposing to do it again and to go to all these places and to set a new message, which is the I Am. The I Am project is to remember who we are, why we are here, but not just as humanity, but as a planet. So the thing is that in between 2017 and 2020, we are going for this trip around the world and travel to all these 72 spots around the planet grid, where Atlantean people used to settle the engines for this consciousness. And since that time, it was broken. So nobody did it again in the whole planet. They made it in some places. For example, the United States brought the energy from Middle East to Washington in order to control. So a lot of Freemason countries used the obelisk and temples to reestablish that network of consciousness, but they did it with the energy of control. Freemasons were amazing people for me. I think they had the whole picture, the whole information. They knew how to do that, but they became politicians. they were not priests anymore and builders, you know. So I think that's the moment they lose their purpose. So what I'm trying to do again with another people and all of you, if you share, to reestablish the main thought of the planet, which is I am, in that network.
And reestablishing these grids, 72 grids around the planet, would establish that one world, one consciousness, that we are all connected. Is that correct?
Yeah. What the thing is that every being has many thoughts, but every being must know that every thought makes the I am who you are. So there's no any problem with many languages. There's no any problem with many cultures, many religions, many sciences. The main problem we had was thinking that we all should be the same. We are not the same. We are here to be different, but in harmony. So the thing is that every plan that humanity had to make a new order, new world order, to be all the same, to be all in the same government, to be all in the same coin, is not good for this planet, because we are different being in harmony. So to unite them in the same thought is to unite them not in the same culture, is to unite them in the same thought that we are different, but we are one.
And that is the reason, perhaps, why the European Union is having trouble now with Britain exiting the EU?
Yeah, well, I think Europe is a good picture of what the humanity should be. Many languages, sharing many countries, many cultures, and they are connected. But they made a mistake. They forgot the people. I think they made arrangements just for money. The globalization is more money than people. You still need passports and visas for countries. That's not globalization. Something different. Only the companies can go worldwide and do whatever they want. So that's where I think that the treatments in between countries are not good, because they are not doing this for people. They are doing this for economy, commodities, you know, and to be sure about the money and not fall and all this. So I think also because the time of energy in Europe is ending, and the heart, which is Great Britain, geologically, not population, geologically is the heart of Europe, and also Switzerland, and those places are separated from Europe now. So that means that the heart has fallen. So another heart must start to beat. So according to the energy of the planet, that heart should be in South America. Oh. The consciousness should go to South America, and it's going there since the fall of Tibet by China. The energy starts to go to Bolivia again. So the whole pattern of the planet is changing, and also from Europe to South America.
So, well, that's incredible. Now, Stefano, if I may, how can people help you establish these grids around the world? I know there's going to be a lot of people asking. And also, could you please give out your websites and how people can contact you?
Yeah, sure. Well, the project we're gonna share the project the next month from October beyond, and because we are not ending everything, but the whole picture you can have it in the website, which is atertumti.org. Is atertumti.org, and there you have the whole picture of what I've done and what we are doing as a foundation too. We are really young as a foundation, only 2 years, three, and so. And the other website is yosoyuno.org, which is yosoyuno.org, which is I am one, but in Spanish, so you can translate it. So in that side, I explained a few things about the project. It was mostly made for sponsors because it's a long trip and it's very difficult. So we made that site for that, and also in our website in our Facebook, we will be sharing what people could do for us, what people could should do, and travel around the world, and we are going to interview people. So we expect for you to share your contacts and the places you are, and all secret places you know in the world and maybe we don't know. So we're going to share and ask everybody all the time to help us during the whole trip. But I will start with that in November, sharing these things, because we start on February next year. So we have these 4 months to be prepared to see what we are going to ask for people and to be sure and not to ask something that is not going to happen after. So we need to think precisely about what we're going to ask.
This is a wonderful plan, and I'd like to help you out any way I can, Stefano. This is great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The second comment I'd like to make is that what can people do in their own locales in the meantime to augment your efforts to help create a more beautiful and peaceful planet?
Well, there's one important thing I think that everybody should do, and is ask themselves if what they are doing is what they were meant to be. Because mostly we live our lives because of the patterns that society tells us what to do, you know, or family. So one of the main things we should do is to start asking ourselves, is this what I was meant to be? Is this what I should do in my life? And don't fear change. Don't fear change, because when you change towards what you really feel you must do, everything seems to fall. But when everything disappears, you are clean again, so you can start. And you will find everything to do the most amazing step in this planet. So I would say to everyone to let the fear out. Fear is just for people who wants to survive. If you know that we are living beyond life, beyond death, this is all life, you don't have to fear anything. So change is the way in which universe reflects itself. Is the way the universe expresses itself is by evolution, by changing. Is the only way that we know, which is lovely. The love in the universe is evolution. So if we don't evolve, if we don't change, if we don't adapt to what our being is saying to adapt, we are not in love. So love is evolution. Love is changing. So think about what you are not changing and try to change it.
And as my friend Professor Albert Einstein likes to say, love is the most powerful force in the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you so much, Stefano, for coming on my show today. I know that people are really enjoying your this interview. Your website, again, I'd like to give that out, is www.A as in apple, T-E-R, T-U-M as in Mary, T-I.org, or Y-O-S-O-Y-U-N-O .org, O-R-G. And we've got a couple minutes left, and I want to give you the rest of the time to please say anything you like to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Well, I would say three advices for everyone to start changing and to start channeling the information and the light to help yourself to be part of this change in the world. And there are three very difficult things that are also very simple. The first one is try to change your way of eating. If you change your way of eating, you change the light is going within you. You know, as much fruits or seeds and water you are eating, the most is changing your DNA, your blood. So the patterns that you were not activating because you had no light before, you will change it because plants and seeds are the ones that have the light pure.
What about eating meat like beef or chicken?
Well, you can do it, but you need to clean your body too much because meat is also emotional and has another background of fear of being a mother too. You know, it's like eating yourself. So it's quite complicated for the body to process light, which is already in a form. But plants and seeds and fruits has the light just pure. You know, mostly fruits and seeds, they are made to be given for other beings. They were made in this pattern, so you could eat it and have the main information of the sun. So if you want to enlighten yourself, just eat more fruits and eat more seeds and drink more water.
Thank you. What profound good advice.
And the second one is breathing. Breathe correctly. Breathe like a baby. We need to breathe with with a diaphragm, not with a high lungs, with down. Yeah.
Stomach.
Like the stomach. Yeah. Like doing the whole from very below to above. It's not from up to down. It's from below to up, yeah. So and always the nose, because nose is where you get the air to the pineal gland, and you activate your soul and your spirit in the third eye. So constantly through the nose and breathe correctly in that way, like a kid or a baby breathe. Look into it. And the third one is to laugh. Not love, laugh. Laugh a lot. Yeah? Laugh a lot. Because what you eat change your DNA, your blood. What you breathe enlight and make it circulate around your body, all the light. And if you laugh, you change the frequency. You change the frequency and make it higher. So in order to have the information of the whole universe, eat more fruits, breathe properly, and laugh much more.
Stefano, this has been a wonderful interview, and I want to thank you so much for coming on Out of This World Radio today.
Thank you for allowing me to explain this.
You've given so much good advice and profound wisdom, and I just want to thank you again so much on behalf of all my listeners around the world for coming on the show.
That was a fascinating interview with Matias Di Stefano in the Dominican Republic last month. And then after this discussion, we had another discussion. Actually, it was with Matias and also Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project, where Matias was talking about water and the importance of water for the planet. And both Matias and Michiko said some very important and very, very profound things about water, that water is the lifeblood of the planet, that if you pollute the water, you're polluting the blood of the planet, and you're actually killing the planet. That's why fracking is so bad, and why so much oil exploration on this planet is so bad. They were both mentioning in this next small interview, they said that if we And also by fracking, it also lowers the vibration of the planet as well, because water is the lifeblood of the planet. And it's a short segment, but I'd like to end this hour by playing this segment. It's a very profound segment, and I think you'll get a lot out of it. Matthias is one of the few people in the world who I know who has memories of Atlantis, and which I find just fascinating. I don't know of anybody else who has memories of Atlantis. I know some people have written books about Atlantis, about what happened, and I think it's very important to listen to what he says. I asked him whether he was writing any books, and he said he was in the middle of writing some books. He's been urged to write books. But what he has to say is very important, because history, I think, does repeat itself. And if you don't pay attention to the lessons of history, you'll repeat them. So at any rate, this next segment is 3 minutes long, and we'll wrap up the rest of the hour with this segment. It's an impromptu interview with Matthias DiStefano and Michiko Hayashi, the global director and ambassador for the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, talking about water and its importance. So I'd like to play that now. We'll end the hour with this, and I hope everyone out there has a wonderful and really beautiful weekend. Thank you so much for listening and supporting Out of This World Radio. We'll play that interview now.
That water is the biggest being alive in the universe, because the water is in Earth, but it's also in many planets and also in comets, and it's only one body. It's only one body, all sprayed in the universe, and it's the only being that in the reality could be in the three levels of consciousness: gas, liquid, and solid. So it has a spirit that you can breathe, it has the soul that you can drink, and it has the body, which is the eyes. So it's the biggest being in the universe, and is alive, and can be in the three stages. It's the only one. So, well, not the only one, but the most bigger.
In the Atlantean times, you said that instead of typing or writing out information, people in Atlantis would sing the information to a bowl or a big vessel of water, and the water would retain the image or the information.
Yeah, the information was in the water, because they knew that water was the only one that could live forever. You know, water is the same water you are drinking now is the same water that dinosaurs used to drink.
Is the only
alive being that can survive to whole stories. So that's why they used to give the information to stones, crystals, and water. So the information is still there, and you could have it within drinking the water or feeling the stones. That's why in the ancient times they had writings, letters, and symbols, but they don't have like hieroglyphics to tell the stories. Hieroglyphics were for some people, but the priests wouldn't use the hieroglyphics. They would use just chantings and water.
Just excuse me for asking this question, but you mentioned hieroglyphics. Now, I know hieroglyphics. What are hieroglyphics?
Oh, no, sorry, my pronunciation.
Oh, okay, all right.
Hieroglyphics, yeah.
No, I was going to say that every day, even now, there are about 20 to 40 tons of water are coming in the form of comet ice from the universe to the Earth every day. And they don't really announce it. NASA reported it, but the media shut it down. But it's still coming, and I know that they have information in it from the universe to the Earth.
Yeah, of course. Uh-huh. And when the water mix all information that comes from there resonates in all the water in the planet and start to awake the information in all beings that have water. Yeah.